Welcome to the John Birch Society podcast. I'm your host, Mary Benoit. Today's topic is on the North American Union, and our guest is John F. McManus, president of the John Birch Society. How are you today, Mr. McManus?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Well, I'm really excited to be talking with you today because the North American Union poses such a huge threat to our nation and is a threat that very few people know about. The North American Union, or NAU, would essentially merge the United States, Canada, and Mexico into a European-like nation. In what ways would these countries be integrated?
Well, they'd be integrated. Borders would be opened. Security would be around the three countries rather than around each individual country. There would be a massive transfer of finances from the United States and Canada to try to bring Mexico up to even a semblance of an economic level with our two countries. And just about anything else you can think of, military, energy, these are some of the topics that were discussed at this secret meeting that was held up in Canada last September.
Now, with the North American Union posing such a great threat, how come it hasn't been widely covered, or it's actually been mostly ignored in the media? And why is that?
Well, it's been ignored because the implementation of the North American Union via the Security and Prosperity Partnership that Mr. Bush started with his counterparts in Canada and Mexico back in March of 2005, they're going ahead with this without approaching Congress at all. They're just simply bypassing Congress. And it begins to look like they're using as a legal foundation for what they're doing our congressional insertion of the United States into the NAFTA agreement, North American Free Trade Agreement. And that, of course, is Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, and that was voted on by Congress in December of 93, signed by President Clinton, and it took effect on the 1st of January, 1994. The effects of NAFTA have been absolutely devastating to the United States, but that's a subject for another day, maybe. But the reason that there's no media coverage on this is certainly that some people like it and want it and don't want to talk about it. And the other is that a lot of people look to what's happening in Washington to see whether or not they should cover it and whether it should be something that will appear in their publications. But Congress has been totally left out of this. And happily, there are some congressmen beginning to get upset about the fact that they've been bypassed. How can you work toward a program to merge our country with Canada and Mexico and not even ask Congress for an opinion about it? And so that may very well work against the promoters of this North American Union.
Now, you mentioned that NAFTA was a predecessor of the NAU, and John Birch Society has been writing about NAFTA for over 10 years now. When did the JBS first pick up on the NAU and SPP plans?
Well, we picked up on the SPP plans shortly after Mr. Bush and his counterparts in Mexico and Canada met in Waco, Texas, March of 2005. We were already talking about their plans for a North American Union in the summer of 2005. And as usual, we were way ahead of everybody. There are other groups now, happily, that are beginning to understand that this is a threat and are starting to alert their own mailing lists or whatever they have, and that's good. In fact, we've formed a coalition to block the North American Union. I'm one of the steering committee of it. In fact, it was my suggestion with others that we do this coalition, and I just came back from Washington, D.C., where we had a meeting of the coalition and about 40 persons in attendance and all kinds of different groups and individuals. And it was very good to see the sentiment there, the determination. We're going to get together. We're going to work together to block this thing.
Now, I was looking at the official government website for the Security and Prosperity Partnership, which is SPP.gov, and it insists that the agenda to merge the three countries, the three participating countries, is simply a myth. And others have claimed that these so-called myths are brought out by conspiracy theorists.
Well, that's right. That's the usual case now. What you do is you say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theorist, you know, as if to say that there's never been a conspiracy. But if that's the case, then how come high-level officials of our government, Canadian government, Mexican government, meet at a closed-door secret meeting in Banff, Canada, in September of 2006. And yes, they did meet, and the purpose of the meeting was to advance the agenda for the North American Union. They actually called the meeting the North American Forum. And this is something that if indeed there's nothing to worry about, why are they meeting in secret? Why are they not inviting the press and so on? Well, obviously they didn't invite the press. Now, who represented the United States at this meeting? Well, each country had a co-chairman, and our co-chairman was former Secretary of State George Shultz. If there's any man in our country who is a more connected member of the insider establishment, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and so forth, it's George Shultz. George Shultz is the man who hosted the meeting 2.5 years before George Bush was elected to form a brain trust to train George Bush to be president of the United States. So George Shultz is very key in this. Now, among the other American participants was Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Now, this was September last year. You would think that Mr. Rumsfeld had his hands full with Americans dying and shooting going on in Iraq obviously a war that is not going well. You would think that he would not want to take any time away from his concerns about that and go to this fancy hotel up in Banff, Canada, and participate in this North American Union. Well, he did. In fact, he gave the keynote speech at one of the sessions. Who else was there? A former congressman named George Nethercutt. He was congressman from up around Spokane, Washington. Admiral Tim Keating was there. He's the commander of the U.S. Northern Command. And this is a new military command that has been put together. Assistant Secretary of State Shannon was there. Carla Hills is the former trade representative of the United States, and it was she who you could point to as being the author of the NAFTA agreement. She shepherded it through, and now she's still very busy. Now, it's also very interesting. You asked about how come there's been nothing in the media about this. Well, the Wall Street Journal's correspondent who covers the subject of the Western Hemisphere is Mary Anastasia O'Grady, and she was there. She has not written about this. Amongst the others from America, we had former cabinet officials, William Perry, James Schlesinger, James Woolsey. Woolsey, I think, was the head of the CIA for a time. So, and then there were corporate executives and so forth, and counterparts from Mexico and Canada, people who actually government officials at the time, perhaps the more famous of, more high ranking of any of them was a man named Stockwell Day from Canada. He's their Minister of Public Safety. So this is a big meeting. This is a very important discussion here that's going on. And they had six sessions, and the six sessions, well, the first one was a welcoming session, and then they had sessions on energy, on security cooperation, on North American integration, and on border infrastructure. Now, what they mean by border infrastructure is to do away with the border. And if we do away with the border, then, in fact, we'll be in good shape. See, we won't have to worry about a lot of things because the border will be taken care of. I mean, this is all the kind of thing that people would look at you and say, you got to be kidding. This can't be happening. You're making it up. No, I'm not making it up. And happily, there are some people in Canada who are now publicizing the entire thing. A group in Canada called Vive le Canada, they're publicizing it. Now, I said earlier that this was a secret meeting. And the next question anybody would have, of course, is, if it was a secret meeting, how do you know about it? Well, obviously, somebody came out and talked about it. A Canadian businessman, who I think is also a political personality, a man named Mel Hurtig, Hurtig. He attended the session. He didn't like what he heard. And he went public about it. And he was interviewed on a Canadian broadcasting company program September 21st, only a few days after the meeting. And he said this. He said, we're talking about such an important thing. We're talking about the integration of Canada and Mexico into the United States. For them to hold this meeting in secret and to make every effort to avoid anybody learning about it, right away, you've got to be hugely concerned. Well, good for Mr. Hurtig. We're very glad that he spoke out about it. He's not the only one who has spoken out about it, but he was there, and so we're very pleased that he did. So, yes, indeed, they are planning a North American Union. They can deny it all they want, but why do top officials of this government and former cabinet officials and so forth go represent the United States at a North American forum with that kind of an agenda?
So the same people that are denying that this is happening are essentially just meeting in secret and carrying out the same plan that they're denying. I find that just so shameful.
Well, it is shameful. Now, you say the same people. It's not really so. The people who are denying that this is happening are people like President Bush and some of his other spokesmen and so on. They weren't at the meeting, but they did send their counterparts or their underlings to go to the meeting. I think it's quite significant that this Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the Wall Street Journal has said nothing about it in her columns. She writes regularly in the Wall Street Journal. But the Wall Street Journal is in favor of converting the United States into one portion of a North American Union, which would be the entire Western Hemisphere. They have actually editorialized in favor of copying the European Union. And the European Union, of course, is now 27 nations who have given up their sovereignty. And there aren't too many people who understand that. But if you look into what the European Union is and does, you will find that they put together a constitution in 2004. And their EU constitution boldly states, and I quote, "This constitution shall have primacy over the law of member states." There you go. As they say, bingo. Mm-hmm. No more sovereignty of any of those nations. Now, only 2 weeks ago, a man named Roman Herzog, who was Germany's president from 1994 to 1999, president of the nation, he pointed out that in a recent five-year period, and I quote, 84% of the legal acts in Germany stemmed from EU headquarters in Brussels. All right? That means 84% of the laws that were passed in a five-year period in Germany were not generated in Berlin or the capital of Germany, were generated in Brussels, the capital of the European Union. And he lamented that, and again I quote, question has to be raised of whether Germany can still unreservedly be called a parliamentary democracy. Good question. So, where are we? Well, Mr. Bush and his counterparts from Mexico and Canada formed the Security and Prosperity Partnership in March of 2005. They met again, even though there was a new Canadian leader now. They met again in March of 2006 in Cancun in Mexico, and they're moving ahead. And they can deny all they want about the fact that, this isn't leading to anything. It's just something to spur trade, or it's just something to be nice with each other or whatever. No, because out of this is coming the North American Union. And one of the key individuals in that is this Dr. Robert Pastor. As far back as 2001, he wrote a book called Toward a North American Community. Lessons from the old world for the new. And the lesson from the old world was to duplicate the European Union. So here we are again. Now, so what's up? What's the summation here? The summation is that the United States' independence is threatened. And it's threatened because top officials of our government, leading right up to President Bush, are perfectly willing to have the United States become part of a three-nation North American Union, which is on the way towards the entire Western Hemisphere being converted into a carbon copy of the European Union. Now, if that happens, we can scrap the Declaration of Independence, we can tear up the Constitution of the United States, and we will simply become one part of a great political takeover.
Now, there has been some opposition to these plans in Congress and in state legislatures. Is that correct?
Well, there have been some members of Congress who've begun to speak out about it. Congressman Tom Tancredo from Colorado, he said last October, he said, "I know the administration has given assurances that the SPP, that's the Security and Prosperity Partnership, is not a veiled threat to create a North American Union, nor an effort designed to dilute American sovereignty by entering into a European-like arrangement with Canada and Mexico." And he continued, he said, "Unfortunately, the SPP's recommendations seem to be at odds with those assurances." And other congressmen are beginning to speak out about it. And they're only speaking out about it because their constituents have warned them about it. The political leadership of each party has not. The media has not. The places where they usually expect to get information and perspective on things has not. And so it's up to the constituents. And what we recommend in the John Birch Society is for anybody who will listen to what we have to say, get a copy of our special issue of the New American Magazine that came out last October. It's all about these plans, this North American Union plan. It shows plans to build a superhighway from southern Mexico all the way up through the United States and into Canada in order to facilitate the merger of our three nations. That's just one part of it. But they mean to do it with security and border infrastructure and energy and you name it. Everything is on the line. And it's got to be stopped. Now, happily, there are some state legislatures that have already gotten information from their constituents and have put together resolutions. They're making their way through in the state legislatures at this point, in Utah and in Virginia and in South Carolina. And I expect that there'll be a lot more of that as our people get more and more active and get into seeing their state reps and their state legislatures. I think Oklahoma has also done it. So the information is beginning to spread, and we're looking forward to blocking this, to having these people back up, because they intend to have this be completed by the year 2010, and that's only 3 years from now. Very dangerous situation.
And the North American Union reprint that you were just referring to can be found at jbs.org and visiting our North American Union issues page. Thank you so much for talking with us today about the North American Union, Mr. McManus.
My pleasure. Let's everybody decide that we want to retain our independence. We want to retain that Declaration of Independence that says that men's rights come from God and therefore government should be limited. That's quite unique. Thank you for having me.
And I'd like to thank our listeners for listening to the John Birch Society podcast. Please continue to visit jbs.org for news and commentary on these and other important topics.